Are you looking for your next great read, but stumped on where to find it? Let me be your book fairy godmother. When you join Rhonda with a Book on Patreon for $5 a month, I will send you a personalized book recommendation, plus my All Things Bookish newsletter every month, and give you a shout out and plug your project here on the podcast. If you're on a budget, no worries. For only a dollar a month, you can get just the newsletter, which includes exclusive content not found on the blog, and a collection of links to articles, stories, and products book nerds will love, curated by yours truly. Go to patreon.com/rondawithabook to join. Thanks so much for your support, and as always, happy reading. Good day, friends, and welcome to the Rhonda with a Book podcast, where I, Rhonda, spill the tea on books. Not literally, of course. So, how was your summer? I know, summer isn't technically over for another 3 weeks, but pumpkin spice season is upon us. And I am so ready. I was unemployed for a lot of the summer, so I spent my days when I wasn't sending out dozens of copies of my resume scrolling through and posting videos on BookTok. Yes, you heard that right. BookTok. Like BookTube before it, BookTok is a growing community of book lovers and creators on the popular video social media platform TikTok. I feel like I just sounded about 85 years old, or maybe like Dwight Schrute. One thing you'll notice if you spend a little bit of time on BookTok is that there is one particular book series that is very popular on the platform, the A Court of Thorns and Roses series by Sarah J. Maas. There are several popular and fantastic cosplayers and many users who use TikTok memes and trending audios and apply them to the series in really funny and creative ways. There are a few other YA authors whose books get a lot of attention, like Leigh Bardugo, Kira Cass, a couple others. But the sheer volume of videos about ACOTAR and Maas's other series, The Throne of Glass, is overwhelming. If you spend a little more time on BookTok, you might find creators who are trying to break through the ACOTAR noise and recommend less popular and more diverse reads. This has been an interesting summer to be a part of BookTok. I think these past months have been somewhat of a quote-unquote wake-up call for a lot of white people regarding race issues. And for a lot of people of color, it's been a confirmation and revelation of those issues and circumstances they've been aware of and speaking on for years, even decades. Like much of the book community and industry as a whole, BookTok has had to face its race problems. Like I mentioned before, a lot of BookTok content is dominated by just a few authors' works, and many of the most popular books, at best, lack any significant diversity or representation, and at worst, are actively harmful to marginalized people. But, like I said, there are many creators who are discussing and recommending books with more and better representation for people of color, for queer people, for people who are differently abled, people who are chronically ill or neurodivergent, or any other identity or intersection of identities that doesn't get a lot of mainstream representation. One of the best parts of my book talk summer has been discovering and sharing these books with fellow readers. But just like any movement toward progress, there are also book talkers who are resistant to change and to broadening their reading habits. There are even several users who I won't name here, but you would be able to discover if you do a little digging, who have posted statements expressing their inability to relate to characters who are different from them, or their disinclination to intentionally seek out books written by authors of marginalized identities. I think these are two separate issues. And for the former, there's not a lot that I could say in this forum that would convince someone to change their mind on that, except maybe you should try to have more empathy. That's actually kind of concerning to me. But for the latter, this idea of, I don't care about an author's skin color, I just read a book if it sounds good. Which, by the way, is almost a direct quote that I've seen dozens of times in comments. I think Jenna of Jenna's Lit Picks, a fellow book talker, said it best. This audio is from one of her TikTok videos, and she's given me permission to include it here.
I just have a question, and this is not a question directed towards any one person or group of people. This is just me, a curious individual on this app who wants to know, why do people get so defensive when you ask them to diversify their bookshelves? Because we're not saying read bad books. We're not saying read books of a lower caliber. We're not saying read books that are out of the genre that you like. We're just saying read books that are diverse. So whether they're written by, Black, Indigenous, or other people of persons of color authors, or whether they're written by LGBTQ authors, or whether the main characters in the stories are within those demographics, there are plenty of good books. So if your argument is because I want to read what I want to read, is that intentionally excluding? Or is it because you don't think that those authors have quality content? I just want to know because I'm a little bit confused on why that's hard.
Thanks again, Jenna, for letting me use that. I've talked about this before, but there's another problem with that line of thinking, in that the publishing industry and the book industry as a whole, like all industries, is designed to make the most money possible. Not necessarily to introduce readers to an inclusive range of authors and stories. This is true in both acquisitions and in the marketing strategies for most major publishers. A 2018 study by romance bookstore The Ripped Bodice found that for every 100 books published by the leading romance publishers in 2018, less than 8% were written by authors of color. Another 2018 study from Cooperative Children's Book Center of Education found that there were more children's picture books published that year that featured an animal as the main character than featured a Black, Latinx, Native, or Asian main character combined. The publishing industry's marketing isn't helping matters either. It's tough to find conclusive data on this, but a 2012 study conducted by a team including author Roxane Gay found that in 2011, 88% of all books reviewed by the New York Times were written by white authors. Of course, the New York Times doesn't determine everyone's reading habits, but this is a major media outlet and an industry leader for book publicity. I unfortunately was not able to find a more recent study of this nature, but 2012 isn't really that long ago, is it? So the bottom line here is that if you truly think it's important to read diversely and inclusively, you have to be intentional about it. You have to seek out those voices that publishers don't normally amplify, because if you just read the books that you come across organically, if you just read books that sound good, chances are they're going to be mostly written by white authors. But anyway, back to book talk. Like I mentioned before, there are a lot of creators who are in different stages of their inclusive reading journeys, from white book talkers who have just recently started to learn the importance of inclusive reading and who are looking for recommendations, to creators of color and queer creators who are finally able to see just a little bit of representation in the books that they read and see discussed within this community. And once you filter through the ACOTAR content, you'll find a warm community of readers, diverse in age, ethnicity, and interests, who just want to discuss great books in all different genres. I've made friends with a few book talkers. Well, as good of friends as you can be with people that you only know through a social media app. But I asked a few of them to share their favorite summer reads. And I got quite an interesting and diverse list of books. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we will get to hear from Book Talk. Welcome back. So, as promised, here is what book talkers had to say about their favorite summer reads.
Hey, it's Trey, and I've partnered with Rhonda Talks About Books to be featured in her book podcast, which I think is a super cool and awesome opportunity. She did ask a few of us to go ahead and review our best summer read, and I do have to be honest, I didn't read as many books as I wanted this summer, but what stuck out to me was Percy Jackson and The Titan's Curse by Rick Riordan. I really, really enjoyed this story. I've never read Percy Jackson before. This is my first time meeting Percy and being introduced. I think the best thing that I really did like about this particular book so far in the series was their introduction with new characters and just how they wove them into the story that's continuing around Percy. So that is my summer read, and thank you, Rhonda, so much again for reaching out to me to be included in your podcast. I hope you have a great time.
Hi, everybody. This is Arza Books, and I wanted to share one of my favorite reads for the summer, which is Cinder by Marissa Mayer, part of the Lunar Chronicles. What I really liked about it was that it's my first retelling, and I would never have expected a cyberpunkish Cinderella retelling to be this amazing. It's all so familiar, but also so new, and I think that's what really attracted me to the story the most. I really like the world of the story, but I also really like Cinder as the main character. She made being a mechanic seem really cool, to be honest. And
I would never have thought it to be otherwise.
Lastly, for now, I really love the new cover. It's just something that you can stare at forever.
Have you read Monkey Beach by Eden Robinson? Because if you haven't, you should. This book was published in 2000. It was a finalist for the Giller Prize and a nominee for the Governor General's Award. That's right, it is Canadian! The author, Eden Robinson, her father grew up in Haisla Territory near Kitimat Village in BC, where the story takes place. The story follows two timelines. We have the active plot, where Lisa Marie is joining in the search and rescue effort to find her younger brother, Jimmy, who was lost during he was on a ship. The meat of the story actually is Lisa Marie reflecting on her life in flashbacks. So by the end of the book, you will have followed Lisa Marie from when she was a toddler up until the point where the active plot starts, when she joins in the search and rescue mission for her brother. It's a rich story filled with Haisla lore, absolutely fascinating. I absolutely loved it. Everyone needs to read this.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I'm going to talk about my favorite books that I have read this summer. So the first book that I fell in love with this summer was A Discovery of Witches by Deborah Harkness. I love the world building. I love, love, love the characters and the romance. Matthew Claremont is one of my new favorite characters in any book that I have ever read. The magic was just immaculate. I loved every single part of this book, and I love the historical aspect of it. It's a historical fantasy, and it's perfect. The second book that I fell in love with was Caraval by Stephanie Garber. Oh, I love this. I love the magical competition. I love the romance between Scarlet and Julian. I love just the rest of the trilogy. It's so good. The magic is like my favorite part of it. I really like magic books, if you can't tell. but there's no complaints about it. I read this in like a day and I stayed up way too late reading it.
Hi, I'm Kat, and this is for Rhonda's Summer Book Roundup. So, Spinning Silver by Naomi Novik is the first book in years that hooked me so strongly I literally could not put it down. I love fairy tale retellings, but this felt like a superior class. It's full of classic fairy tale tropes, but the characters themselves are never tropes. They're so well developed, they're strong and weak and brave and scared, and those qualities are never at odds with each other. They're real people and all the complexity inherent in that. And the storyline, you know when you get near the end of the book and wish it could just keep going? That point happens about halfway through and you're delighted and a little bit scared. I especially love the phase approach to magic. Something can be both not magic and incredibly magical. It's new and unique, and I had to take a moment when, spoiler alert, Miriam's successful business practices like monetary conversion, the Fae interpreted as magic. Both interpretations were right. Even though they seem mutually exclusive, it felt natural. That's Novik's power. She creates complex, unique worlds that on paper wouldn't make sense, but they're so natural and you never question it, and that really shines in Spinning Silver.
This video is for Rhonda Talks About Books. She is doing a roundup on her podcast of book talkers' favorite books from this summer. So, my name is Deirdre, and one of my favorite reads this summer was To Kill a Kingdom by Alexandra Christo. It is a Little Mermaid retelling, and I adored it. It was fantastic, or should I say, fantastic. It really took this beautiful classic fairy tale that we all know and love and turned it on its head. It wasn't fluffy and light. It was a little bit dark and twisty, but still gave us the romance, and I just cannot speak highly enough of it. We also got the prince's point of view, which was a lot of fun as well. I wish it was longer. I wish there was a sequel, but I know I will be delving back into this world again and again. And that is one of my favorite books from this summer.
Hi, I'm Carrie, and this summer I read Midnight Sun by Stephanie Meyer. Midnight Sun is the latest book in the Twilight series. I had read the whole series years ago, but I eventually donated the books because I was embarrassed by people seeing them when they came over to my house. Midnight Sun tells the story of the first book, but this time it's from Edward's perspective. My favorite part of the book was when Edward took Bella on a special date to a meadow and showed her his sparkly skin. Here's my diorama of that scene.
Edward, you're beautiful. No way, I am a monster.
I rate Midnight Sun 4 out of 5 stars because while I liked it, I do wish there had been more kissing scenes. If you're looking for romance and adventure, I recommend Midnight Sun by Stephanie Meyer. Bye!
My name is Ellie, and my favorite book I read over the summer was Donna Tartt's The Little Friend. This book is about a 12-year-old that investigates the murder of her brother from when she was a baby. I love this book because it reminded me a lot of the Flavia DeLuce novels by Alan Bradley, which I read when I was younger, and it was very nostalgic for me. It was also beautifully written, as are the rest of Donna Tartt's works. I highly suggest this book and all of her other books.
Hi, my name is Amy, also known as FHS Librarian on TikTok, and this video is for Rhonda Talks About Books, who is collecting Book Talkers' favorite books of the summer. It was really hard for me to pick just one book, but if I have to pick just one, it is The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett. This is an adult historical fiction book that takes place during the 1960s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. Our main characters are twins who are Black growing up in the South, but they are very fair-skinned, so one sister decides to run away and pass herself off as a white woman while her other sister grows up as a Black woman. The two women lead very different life experiences because of their choices, and during this book, we get to meet their families and discover all these great complex characters. There is amazing LGBTQ representation in this book, and it is just such a lovely experience to read. I cannot recommend it enough. The only problem is that it's too short.
Hi Book Talk, my name is Sony, and this video is for Rhonda's summer book roundup for her book podcast. So today I'm going to be talking about one of my favorite books that I read this summer, Sally Rooney's Normal People, which I'm sure everybody has heard of by now. It is a contemporary coming-of-age novel that follows two main characters and talks about everything from their insecurities to their relationship with each other to their relationship with the other people in their lives, including their parents and friends. It touches on education, it touches on privilege, sexuality, art, history. So overall, I would say it's a very intersectional, well-rounded book. I find Sally Rooney's writing style and characters to be very blunt and straight to the point, which is what makes this coming-of-age story so different from the ones that I grew up with. Overall, I think it was a really easy read. It's only 200 and something pages. And it will definitely get you out of a reading slump if you're in one. So I highly recommend this book to literally anybody.
Hi, Rhonda. This is Catherine, your friend from TikTok. My favorite book I listened to this summer was Educated by Tara Westover. It's a memoir about Tara's upbringing in rural Idaho in her fundamentalist Mormon family. It follows how her life was changed as she starts her college education and eventually receives her PhD. This book changed my life because it encouraged me to reflect on my own fundamentalist upbringing. Her journey of self-realization and growth in the book is just beautiful. I highly recommend it to anyone to read. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Thanks so much again to all of my fellow Book Talk friends who shared their favorite summer reads. You will be able to find a full list of all the books that were mentioned here at rhondawithabook.com, plus links to follow each one of these creators. You will also find a photo of Carrie's Midnight Sun diorama. It's pretty amazing. So, what was my favorite book of the summer? Well, thanks for asking. It's a tough choice, but I think my absolute favorite book that I read this summer was Hafsa Faisal's We Hunt the Flame, a YA fantasy featuring a world inspired by Islamic culture, an epic quest and really cool magic system, a cast of unique and richly developed characters, and a slow burn enemies to lovers romance. This book had so many great elements that just gelled so perfectly into an extremely satisfying whole. The only thing I'm not satisfied with is that I have to wait until January for the sequel. I included We Hunt the Flame in my list of favorite summer reads in the September issue of the All Things Bookish newsletter, which just released today on September 1st. It's also the premiere issue of my newsletter. Some other features this month are some reflection questions and a space to jot down some thoughts on your own summer reading, some recommended books for aspiring revolutionaries, a collection of autumn's essential items for book lovers with links to places that you can find them online, and a roundup of news stories that should be of interest to fellow readers, as well as a list of new September book releases. If you're subscribed to All Things Bookish, you should have your issue in your email inbox right now. If you are not subscribed, you can do so through my Patreon at patreon.com/RhondaWithABook. It's just $1 a month. You can also see a preview of the newsletter on my blog at rhondawithabook.com. The blog is also where you will find more bookish thoughts of mine, straight from my own brain into your eyeballs. And you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and obviously TikTok. So thanks once again to all the book talkers who contributed to this episode. Thank you to all of you who are listening. And as always, happy reading.